Hello and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Joshua Peak.
Hello and thank you for stopping by. This is the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. We are in the ocean. We are aboard the Ovation of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, currently in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Canada. I tried to get this camera set up. If you guys are watching the video part, I tried to get the camera set up where you can see outside. But if the camera focuses on the light outside too much, then it shadows my face and it won't work. So right now, I've got a light over here shining on my face. But I don't know if you guys can see outside at all unless I, like, move out of frame. Anyway, it's all in an effort to try and make this look like I know what I'm doing. I really don't know what I'm doing. Today is September 4th, 2019. And, like I said, we are cruising around in the ocean. I think this is episode 137. We have been on a few ports already on our trip. I was able to upload some videos. If you guys go to my YouTube channel, Joshua Peak, you can see plenty of the YouTube stuff of us making port in Juneau, Alaska, and also in Skagway, Alaska. Both are very pretty in their own little special way. Juneau is interesting in the fact that it's completely landlocked. There's no way to get there. They jokingly say there's three ways to get to Juneau, through boat, through plane, and through the birth canal. That is the three ways you get to Juneau. But it's, population-wise, it's about, 35,000 people, about. And it is the largest landmass for a city. For some reason, they qualify their city as being 3,200 acres, or 3,200 square miles is actually what they consider Juneau, which is tremendous when you think about the size of it. It is considered the largest landmass city, but again, 35,000 people or so, and completely landlocked. It's not like they're all combined in one concise area like New York City or something like that. We did go on an excursion there, and we were on a road, and our bus driver told us that he comes up during the summer. He's from Utah. He goes to college there, and he comes up during the summer. This is his third season just for, work during the summer. He drives the bus. He does a little tour. We were heading towards our drop site to catch our catamaran for our whale watching tour, and on the way he made a comment, and he said, the problem in Juneau is that you can't leave Juneau by road. He said, this road here, if we go just a little bit further, there's a sign up the road that says road ends, and that's it. There's no road. If you go south of here about another 15 minutes, same kind of deal. He said that the way it's built, there's a lot of glaciers built around them, that have, mountains and glaciers or whatever, that makes it impassable by road. So anyway, it is a thriving city, though. I think he said their number one, what was their number one way to make money? Was it mining? And then number two was tourism, and number three was the salmon industry. But they seem to be, doing okay financially. The town seemed to be doing okay. There was some homelessness, which is a little disturbing, especially when you consider how harsh the winters can be, and that the homeless are somehow making it through the winters there. Obviously, the community must pull together to help them out somewhat. But the purpose of us stopping in Juneau was we had an excursion planned. We were going to do a whale-watching tour with a salmon bake. And my wife was not super on board with the whole whale-watching thing, but she saw the boat that we were getting on. It was a catamaran. It's pretty large. It could probably hold, maybe 150 people, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around that range. Pretty big. We rowed out, and we didn't know that, we didn't know exactly what to expect. I'll start off with us getting off the boat. When we got off the boat, we had tickets to go on this tram. There's a Roberts Mountain that's right next to where the ship is. That's pretty vertical. I mean, as soon as you get off the ship, you look up and you're like, whoa, holy cow. It's a mountain that goes straight up. And there's a tram that you can ride. And the tram holds about, I think it said 60 people max. although we were hard-pressed to get 30 people in there. We hopped on and rode up, and the ride is real smooth. We pre-bought our tickets ahead of time, which is like $5 cheaper than if we had bought them there. And if you go on this excursion, I recommend either going early or going towards the later part of the day to avoid crowds. You will expect the fact that everybody's going to want to do it all together. It's going to be like a herd of people. Later on, we came by there and noticed that not many people were over there, so maybe save that for later in the day to do. I think the pass is for the day, so you can come back and ride it later and not have to worry about crowds. But we got off the ship and went right to that, rode up and got to the top and took pictures and videos and that kind of stuff. And they have a little gift shop up there and a little cantina if you want to grab some coffee or some chips or something like that. The gifts there were, you know, normal souvenir kind of stuff. But there's a good view, good area for you to take pictures of the inlet. And a good area to see your cruise ship down below looking really tiny. I got some pictures of that also on the YouTube page. But we went up there and realized that we kind of needed to head down almost right away so that we could catch our tour. So we headed down and we're able to sit in front of Tracy's Crab Shack. There was a lady named Tracy who opened a crab shack there. It's a very pretty red building, right? You can't miss it. It's right off the coast. Very popular place to eat. They cook Alaskan king crab legs there in pots where you can see them. You can walk by and watch them cook them. And they're pulling them out. And they're as big as my arm. They're huge. We wanted to eat there, but we also didn't want to miss our tour. And we didn't think we had time, so we kind of sat there and listened to some folks talk and realized that these people that were there knew her, and they called her on the phone, and they're like, "We're outside," and she came outside and hugged necks, and they took pictures and stuff, and kind of realized right away they probably go way back or whatever, but it was kind of interesting to see, the lady who owns the place, her pictures on everything, and she's working in the kitchen, comes out and says, "Hey," and goes back in the kitchen, goes back to work. But anyway, we got our crew. We got together with our group, got on the bus, met the dude from Utah, went over to the catamaran, got on the catamaran, and started taking a ride. And we thought, okay, we're going to see some whales here. We packed a bunch of stuff in our bag for rainy days. We'd heard this was the rainy season, and we were fully prepared to be rained on. Didn't actually get much rain, a little bit of sprinkle here and there, but nothing real major. We were able to enjoy a nice boat ride, and we thought we were going to go see whales right away. Turns out the first thing you do on this tour is you go to this Orca Point Lodge to have a salmon bake. Well, this is like, 3:30, 4 o'clock or so, and we just got done eating snacks, and we weren't really hungry, but, hey, we're in Alaska eating salmon, so let's just go ahead and jump right in. They were cooking them on these Traeger pellet grills, and, I'm familiar with pellet grills because I do a lot of that stuff. So I was like, all right, at least they're cooking them on something decent. This should be okay. We got our salmon, and we got some coleslaw that was made. It was pretty good. The coleslaw had, cranberry raisins in it, which I didn't really expect to be good, but it was actually pretty tasty. They had some kind of bean salad thing with, looked like, to me, they looked like whole green beans, but cold. I don't think that's what they were. Maybe wax beans, with shavings of Parmesan cheese. Anyway, that was okay, And then, as we eat, this lady came by and handed out brownies, and we'd heard on different people's recommendations that the brownies were really excellent. Don't miss them. And they were right. The brownies were delicious. The salmon, I don't know what I expected. Everybody kept saying that fresh Alaskan salmon was just amazing, and oh my God, you're not going to believe it. Oh, it's so good. It's nothing like you can get back home. Oh. Well, I was a little let down. I guess because I've learned to cook so much stuff on that pellet grill that I've got. The salmon that they had, it was okay. I don't think they temped it. I think they just cooked it till they thought it was done and pulled it off, which was a little more done than it needed to be. They didn't use butter. They didn't really use seasoning. It was just salmon. I mean, if I had a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give their salmon a 5 compared to what I cook at home, which is probably a 9 or 10. I mean, that's the stuff I cook at home is way better. But, you know, hey, we're in Alaska. I realize they don't have access to things like butter, or maybe they do and they just chose not to use it. Or seasoning, you know. I guess seasoning can get expensive. Whatever, dude. This is your excursion. This is your chance to wow people. This is your chance to kind of make a difference and have people brag about you and say, oh my God, you got to go there and have this. This is amazing. I mean, you did okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, we left there and got cruising on some whales. Right away, we were able to find a whale, and it was a female whale. She was all by herself. And they know her because of markings. She had like a scar on her fin and one on her back of where she had gotten caught up in a fisherman's net before. And she comes up in this area quite a bit. Her name was Sasha. And so Sasha put on a little bit of show. She did some dives and brought her tail up, and I guess they call that the flute when they do that. And so she did the flute fin up thing a few times when she deep dived down to go get some krill. This is stuff I heard. So, you know, apparently what I heard was they come up here during the wintertime or during this time of the year to feast on krill. And when they get all full, then they head down towards Mexico or Hawaii to hang out during the coldest parts of the year, because they are mammals. They breathe water. I mean, they breathe air. And so, you know, they're looking for the most comfortable temperatures as well. But the krill is what they feed on. And this is the time of year and the area that they come to feed. It has something to do with the trees. A lot of the spruce trees and whatnot put off some type of something that the krill feed on and they feast on and they thrive here. And so this is where the whales come to eat them. I have no idea what a krill looks like. I did, however, get to hold something that is inside the whale's mouth. They don't actually have teeth. They have this callus-like material that's very similar to what your fingernails or your hair are made out of. It's very coarse and thick, and it filters out seawater. They showed, you know, she talked about how, you know, they actually consume like 1,500 gallons of seawater whenever they open their mouth to take in this krill. And they're not going to drink that seawater. They squeeze it out with their tongue, which can weigh up to 200 pounds, just their tongue. They squeeze out the seawater through these things. I don't know what you call them. This hair stuff. And it's very coarse and very thick. And they had a sample for us to feel. And it felt, I don't know, it felt kind of like, it felt almost plastic-ish. I mean, it was pretty thick and coarse on one side, but then you had these hairs that come off the other side. And, you know, I guess it's their way of being able to eat while underwater and not have to consume all of that salt water. So anyway, I found that pretty interesting. After we hung around with Sasha for a bit, we decided to kind of let her be. We went off to go find some more. We rode for quite a while in this Glacier Bay for a while, and we could see glaciers off in the distance, and the lady named what they were, and, you know, we took some pictures and stuff like that, and we were having difficulty finding more whales, so we went to an area where there were sea lions, and she kept accentuating the fact that these were called stellar sea lions. They were like a brownish color, light brown color. Again, I have lots of video and photos that I put on YouTube. Go check that out. But they were really pretty, and they were, you know, making like almost a kind of a mixture between a dog barking sound and a cow mooing sound, kind of a, you know, but they were active, and they were putting on a show there on the coast. A few of them swam out to water to check us out because they were curious. But to me, they kind of looked like Labradors with fins, much bigger, of course, you know, 300 to 600 pounds. But very interesting all the same. We left there, turned around, went out back to the ocean, and were able to locate some more whales. We came across, I guess, a pod. There was quite a few of them. We saw some water spouts and seen some humpbacks, and we went over to that area, and there was lots of other ships kind of doing the same thing. Everybody was watching the whales. And we came across probably 6 or 8 whales. We kind of lost count there. There was a lot of activity going on in different directions. But my wife, you know, using her cell phone, actually got some great video of the whales doing their deep dive and bringing their tail out of the water, very gentle, very smooth.
And it was pretty. It was very pretty. So we enjoyed that, you know, and we again had a lady that was talking on the ship and gave us a lot of good information about whales and about their activity, and it was fun. It was very chilly that day, though, riding around on the ship, and it kind of wiped us out. When we got back here to the ship, to our cruise ship, we were pretty wiped out. We did stop by Tracy's, though, before we got on the ship, and we didn't get a crab leg because we were getting close to time that we had to board to leave. So we ordered something we thought would be a little quicker. They had a crab bisque and some mini crab cakes, and they were delicious. They were really delicious. But we left there, and I was a little disappointed we didn't eat crab legs there. I was like, oh, I really wanted to eat an Alaskan crab leg in Alaska. I mean, that'd be kind of cool just to say you've done it. You know, cause some things you do because you say you just want to have the ability to go, oh, yeah, I've been there and I've done that, if that makes any sense. I mean, to me, life is all about your experiences, and if you don't experience them, you know, what are you doing all this for, right? So anyway, we got on the ship and headed out, and our next port of call was Skagway, Alaska. Skagway's further north, quite a bit further north, and is up in an inlet where it's a lot colder. The skies were gray as soon as we pulled in. You know, we right away knew that this town was not as busy as Juneau. When we got off the ship, we had an excursion plan to do a zip lining tour. And when we got off the ship, we had, you know, kind of a long walk down a dock towards the area to meet, and got on a bus right away to go up to do our zip lining. And on that tour, the guy that was giving us our information, you know, as we rode, told us the population there is only about 2,000 people. And that's during the summer. That's with summer help. During the winter, when the locals live there, it's about 900 people. It's a very small community, very quiet, very isolated, although they do have access by road to everywhere. They're not landlocked. They can get to anywhere through the road system. He talked about the fact that he came from Washington State. It's about a 1,700-mile drive to get from Washington State up here. But they do have people that work with the ziplining crew that come from as far as Florida, Clearwater, Florida, to be precise. And they were saying that that's quite a journey. That's a 5,000-mile journey. But we got to the area where the ziplining was. We got on these great big giant six-wheeled off-road vehicles called Mogs and took a drive up into the mountains even further. And the weird part was, is the further we got up into the mountains, into the tree line, the warmer it got. I guess because we didn't have the breeze coming off the ocean. But we got up there and we got hooked up with a group, which was, it was interesting in the fact that there was not a lot of guys doing the ziplining as far as like instructors. Whenever we've done ziplining in the past, there's always been a sender and a receiver. You got one person that sends the people, one person receive them to make sure to get them on the other side and that they're all safe and clipped into the trees. Nobody falls, nobody gets hurt, that kind of thing. And from the group we saw, there was only like one guy and the rest of them were females, which is unusual for us to see. We had two ladies that helped us in our group. We had six people in our group, and they were fun. They had a lot of information. One of them did miss me on a receiving part, and I coasted back out over the line and kind of got stuck. She had to come and save me, and I could tell right away that was a time when it would have been helpful to have a guy to pull you in. She kind of struggled to pull me in, being that I'm bigger than she is. I mean, that's just one of those instances where it's kind of helpful to be big and not advantageous for me because I'm bigger than she is. But they were helpful and they were friendly and they had a lot of information. They were fun. We had a good time ziplining. We did 10 zips. I think the longest one was 700 feet. And they let us do some different stuff that other zip lines wouldn't let us do. They even showed my wife how to go across a zip upside down, hands-free. And she did that a bunch. As a matter of fact, we have a photo that we took and put it on the Facebook and on, YouTube as well. So if you want to see that, you know, go check those out as well. Again, I tried to make as many videos as I could along the way so that you guys could see that. And also we could look back at it one day and, you know, remember our trip, It's that weird balance of you want to record things, but you also want to just experience things sometimes. So there's times where I don't whip out a camera. I just do the thing and have fun and enjoy it. And there's times where I go, oh, we should get this on camera. And sometimes you do something and you go, I should have recorded that, and oh well. But you move on, right? Because it's all about choices. So anyway, we had a good time ziplining. We got back into town, and we wanted to stop and get a Christmas ornament. And so the bus that was bringing us back into town was going to either drop us in the downtown area or by the ship, which is about a 15-minute walk. So we got off in the downtown area and went walking around and looking in shops. And my wife had seen on the internet that they had a Christmas shop. She was like, I want to go to the Christmas shop and let's get a Christmas ornament. Because we always do that kind of thing whenever we're on vacation. We try to find an ornament that represents something about our trip, so that when we're unpacking them and putting them on the tree, we can kind of remember all the trips we took together. It's nice. It's like a trip down memory lane. So we looked around and finally found the Christmas shop, and we found this beautiful Christmas ornament. It's got a hand-painted whale's tail going into the ocean, and it's a beautiful ornament. The box itself looks like it come from Lennox Crystal. It's one of those really reinforced, sturdy, felt-like material boxes. So it'll look nice. It's a nice ornament, and you guys will probably see that if you come over to the house. We'll point it out and be like, "Here, this is the one we got from our trip." So anyway, we enjoyed that, and we, on the way back, I told my wife, I said, "Listen, before we leave Alaska, I want to eat some crab legs, and I noticed there's a place down here called the Skagway Fish Company. I want us to stop there before we get on the cruise ship, and let's get a crab leg. Even if we split it, I don't care. I want to get it while we're here." Again, so I can say, I've done it. So we went in, and it was a little bit of a walk, but we went in and were able to get one of those crab legs. The leg itself was about $80. If you wanted the claw on the end of it, that's another $20. I was like, I don't think $20 is worth just that extra piece of meat. I think the leg will be fine. $80 is a lot of money. But it's also, again, one of those things. You go, you're here, why not? Just do it, say you've done it, enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is, right? So I got the thing, and they have this neat little tool that's plastic. It's hard plastic, but it's got like a hook on one side and like a saw blade on the other side, and you just hook it in there and just move the tool across, and it opens up a crab leg like it's nobody's business. I mean, it opens them up smooth. And I pulled out a chunk of meat that was as big as a baby's arm. I mean, it was huge. I was like, wow, this is the most crab I've ever seen on any one piece ever. And so we had that and enjoyed that. My wife got a fish and chips that was made with halibut, and it was delicious. They cooked it perfectly. It was like beer battered, fried just perfectly. It was crunchy on the outside, had some good flavor to it. It was good and warm on the inside, and not too much breading. I mean, it was done perfect. But we enjoyed that, and we got pictures and had a good time and got on the ship and made our way to sea. And then yesterday we spent our day at the sea all day, and it was pretty nasty outside. Like, every time we'd open the window, all we could see was just white and fog. Just fog. We were supposed to go to an inlet that had glaciers, the Dawes and Ames Glacier Pass, I think is what it's called. Endicott.
Endicott and Dawes.
Endicott and Dawes Glacier Pass. Yep. Anyway, we were supposed to go into it, and we never really got into it. As soon as we started to go down into the pass, the fog got too bad. The captain announced he couldn't see. They couldn't tell where things were. They didn't want to accidentally bump into something, so they sat still for a while waiting for the fog to lift, and it didn't. We were able to look out the window, and we saw a couple of tiny igloo things floating by. Do you call them igloos when they're small like that? Not igloos. Icebergs? Icebergs. We saw a tiny iceberg floating by, you know, about the size of vehicles. Took pictures of them. There wasn't a lot, but again, we weren't able to go very far into it. At a certain point, the captain announced, "I'm sorry, we can't make it. We're going to have to back out of here and just continue on our path. It's not safe for us to travel down here." And so, unfortunately, we didn't get to see the glaciers from the ship, which they had done the week before. But hey, you can't control the weather, right? I mean, if you live on the East Coast right now, you know that. Again, you know, we're watching the Hurricane Dorian stuff on the Weather Channel right now because that's one of the only channels we get on the ship. But also, we live in South Carolina, so, you know, it kind of affects us. It's a hurricane level 2, so it's not really going to affect us that much. I mean, let's be honest. So anyway, I had most of the day at sea yesterday with nothing to do, so I made videos. I was like, oh, we got all this stuff we recorded on your phone and my phone and this camera, and let's dump it all on the computer and see if I can make videos. And I spent about 3 or 4 hours making videos, and then posting them took another 4 or 5 hours after that, because the internet here is slow, painfully slow. I mean, slow. I don't even know how to describe how slow it is. It's slow. It's early 90s slow. Mid-90s slow. Yeah, that's it. Mid-90s has a good reference. Anyway, so we're at sea again today because we are headed to British Columbia. We're going to be in, where are we going? Victoriaville?
Victoria. British Columbia.
Victoria, British Columbia. Yeah, that's it. And we're going there. We'll be there tomorrow. Tomorrow is kind of our last day of being on the cruise ship because the next day we get off. So we're deciding what we want to do. We don't have an excursion planned, but there is a city on-off bus tour there. And we're thinking seriously about doing that because I don't really want to go see somebody's garden and I don't really want to go walk around Parliament of Victoria, British Columbia. But the city hop-on, hop-off tour may be the way to go because we'll get to see lots of things. We usually get information from those kind of tours that are pretty good.